So the monotonous days of waiting were passed in discussion, and the leisurely routine of hunting and foraging, and then one evening both the San were galvanized by excitement, and they faced into the north with their little amber faces turned up to a sky that was the flawless blue of a heron's egg. It took Santan a few minutes to discover what had excited them, and then she saw the cloud. It groped up over the rim of the northern horizon like the finger of a gargantuan hand, and it grew as she watched it. The top of it flattened into an anvil shape, and the distant thunder growled like a hunting lion. Soon the cloud stood tall and heaven high, burning with the colours of the sunset and lit with its own wondrous internal lightnings. That night, Owa danced and whistled and sang the praises of the cloud spirits until at last he collapsed with exhaustion. But in the morning, the thunderhead had dispersed. However, the sky had changed from unsullied blue, and there were streaks of a high mare's tail cirrus smeared across it. The air itself seemed also to have changed. It was charged with static that made Santan's skin prickle, and the heat was heavy and languorous, even harder to bear than the dry, harsh noons had been, and the thunderheads climbed above the northern horizon and tossed their monstrous, billowing heads to the sky. Each day they grew taller and more numerous, and they massed in the north like a legion of giants and marched southward, while an enervating blanket of humid air lay upon the earth and smothered it and everything upon it. "Please let it rain," Santan whispered each day, while the sweat snaked down her cheeks and the child weighted her womb like an ironstone boulder. In the night, Owa danced and sang. "Spirit of cloud, see how the earth waits for you the way that a great cow elant in heat trembles for the bull. Come down from on high, spirit of cloud whom we venerate, and spill your generative fluids upon your earthly wife. Mount your lover, and from your seed she will bring forth new life in abundance." And when Hani trilled and piped the chorus, Santan cried out just as fervently. One morning, there was no sun. The cloud stretched in a solid grey mass from horizon to horizon. Low to begin with, they sank lower still, and a stupendous bolt of lightning tore from their great, sow-like belly and clanged upon the earth so that it seemed to jump beneath their feet. A single raindrop struck Santan in the centre of a forehead, and it was as heavy as a stone, so that she reeled back at the shock of it and cried out in astonishment. Then the hanging clouds burst open, and the rain fell from them, thick as locusts. Each drop, as it struck the surface of the pan, rolled into a globule of mud, or made the wiry scrub branches around the edge jump and quiver, as though flocks of invisible birds had alighted upon them. The rain stung Santan's skin, and one drop struck her in the eye and blinded her for a second. She blinked at Claire and laughed to see Owa and Hani capering across the pan. They had thrown aside their meagre clothing, and they danced naked in the rain. Each drop burst in a silver puff upon their wrinkled amber skin, and they howled delightedly at the pricks of it. Santan ripped off her own canvas skirt, threw aside her shawl, and Mother Naked stood with her arms thrown open and her face turned to the clouds. The rain thrashed her and melted her long, dark hair down across face and shoulders. She pushed it aside with both hands and opened her mouth wide. It was as though she stood under a waterfall. The rain poured into her mouth as fast as she could swallow. The far edge of the pan disappeared behind the blue veils of falling rain, and the surface turned to yellow mud. The rain was so cold that a rash of goosebumps ran down Santan's forearm, and her nipples darkened and hardened, but she laughed with joy and ran out to the pan to dance with the San, and the thunder sounded as though massive boulders were rolling across the roof of the sky. The earth seemed to dissolve under the solid sheets of silver water. The pan was ankle-deep, and the silky mud squelched up between Saint Tan's toes. The rain gave them new life and strength, and they danced and sang until Owa stopped abruptly and cocked his head to listen. Saint Tan could hear nothing above the thunder and the lash of the rain, but Owa shouted a warning. They floundered to the steep bank of the pan, slipping in the glutinous mud and the yellow waters which by now reached to their knees. From the bank Saint Tan heard the sound which had alarmed Owa, a low rushing, like a high wind in tall trees. "The river!" Owa pointed through the thick palisade of silver rain. "The river is alive again!" It came like a living thing, a monstrous, frothing yellow python, down the sandy river bed, and it hissed from bank to bank, carrying the bodies of drowned animals and the branches of trees in its flood. It burst into the flooded pan and raced in serried waves across the surface, breaking on the bank beneath their feet, swirling on to catch them around the legs and threatening to drag them under. They snatched up their few possessions and waded to higher ground, clinging to each other for support. The rain clouds brought on premature night, and it was cold. There was no chance of a fire, and they huddled together for warmth and shivered miserably. The rain fell without slackening all that night. In the dull leaden dawn they looked across a drowned landscape, a vast shimmering lake with islands of higher ground from which the water streamed, and stranded acacia trees like the backs of whales. "Will it never stop?" Saint Tan whispered. Her teeth chattered uncontrollably, and the chill seemed to have reached into her womb, for the infant writhed and kicked in protest. "Please let it stop now." The sand suffered the cold with the fortitude they showed for all hardship. Rather than slackening, the rain seemed to increase in tempo and hid the sorry drowned land from them behind a glassy curtain. Then the rain stopped. There was no warning, no faltering or tapering off. One second it was falling in a solid cascade, and the next it was over. The ceiling of low bruised cloud split open and peeled away like the skin from a ripe fruit, revealing the clean, washed blue of the sky, and the sun burst upon them with blinding brilliance, once more stunning Saint Tan with the sudden contrasts of this wild continent. Before noon the thirsty earth had drunk down the waters that had fallen upon it. The flood sank away without trace. Only in the pan itself, surface water still lay glittering, sulphurous yellow from bank to far bank. However, the land was cleansed and vivid with colour. The dust that had coated each bush and tree was washed away, and Saint Tan saw greens that she had never dreamed this tan, lion-coloured land could contain. The earth, still damp, was rich with ochres and oranges and reds, and the songs of the little desert larks were joyous. They laid out their scant possessions in the sun, and they steamed as they dried. Owa could not contain himself, and he danced ecstatically. "The cloud spirits have opened the road for us. They have replenished the water holes to the east. Make ready, honey, my little flower of the desert. Before the dawn tomorrow, we will march."